Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I am Cody Diener and I am a professional wrestler. I'm a professional wrestling producer. I'm a professional traveling motivational speaker. I am a father to four children and a husband to a beautiful, understanding, lovely wife. She's so understanding because it is so crazy right now. It's the Christmas season, and despite the Christmas season's busyness and just the festivities, I'm super excited, by the way. I love this season, especially with four kids. There was kind of a section of my life where I wasn't as excited about Christmas, but now I have four kids. It's like I'm a kid all over again. I get to live vicariously through my children during this season. But my wife, she's understanding right now. There's this hustle and bustle, getting ready for the holidays, getting ready for Christmas, couple busy weeks with the kids at home from school. And here I am bringing you content, recording this introduction to this part two episode with Diana Perrazzo. She's letting me go into my office, into my studio and do this despite all the stuff that needs to get done. Thank you, honey. You are amazing. She also listens to every episode of this, so this isn't just like something I'm saying to just you guys to try to get over with my wife. She actually listens to this, so I am kind of trying to get over with my wife, but she's listening to this right now. And why does she? It's because she learned something from these conversations. She knows exactly why I started this podcast. It's so that I could help people bring some positivity into the world through this wonderful world of professional wrestling and teach people that wrestling is life and life is wrestling. And there's a beautiful commingling of both of these, and it can teach us some valuable lessons. And my wife has been learning valuable lessons, including some from last week's guest, Diana Perrazzo. This week we got part two with Diana Perrazzo, but before we talk about where we left off last week, let's just quickly tell you how you can support this show, the show that I bring you free each and every week on your podcast platform of choice. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify right now, why don't you just press pause and rate this podcast or write me a review? Even better, reviews help the algorithm, help more people learn about this podcast and this wonderful conversations that I'm having with my friends. Please go do that right now. If you give me a good one, I'll read it right here on the show. Other ways you can support is by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. You can just donate a couple bucks, or you can have an option of three different levels. And now those three different levels are different types of perks, but some of those levels is going to get you the entire back catalog early and ad-free each and every week of these conversations. It's going to get you bonus stories, both video and audio, that you can download with my guests and all kinds of wonderful stuff. I share some personal things, diaries from on the road and pictures of being on the road and all kinds of stuff over there over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. You can get yourself a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener. I was going to say you can get it on Wrestling is Life is Wrestling. No, but you can get a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener of the logo of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling just in time for the holidays. Head on over there or get yourself or a loved one a cameo at cameo.com/CodyDiener. Even better, why don't you go and get yourself a Rest When Dead t-shirt? Either one of the ones that are in the back. If you're watching this on youtube.com/CodyDienerPodcast, get one of the two that's in the background. Get this sweet Rest When Dead hat that I'm wearing right now, or get yourself a Signature Series shirt. I got some Signature Series shirts up on restwhendead.ca. So does Crazy Steve. So does Jody Threat, two other Rest When Dead sponsored athletes. Head on over to Rest When Dead Clothing on Instagram and check out their entire collection. They got some wicked, awesome merch. And I just so happen to be the vice president of the company. So I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I'm biased in a good way because everything that they do, everything they put out is positive. both the messaging as well as they give back to the communities that they're in. They give money back to the fitness community. They give money back to the wrestling community and their local economy because they source their materials from local merchants, give back to the local economy. So you know you're not just getting really super high quality merch. You're also giving back to the community in a positive way. So go check out restwhendead.ca. All right, that's enough shilling about my stuff. Let's shill our next guest. Let's put our next guest over. I don't even need to do this because she got herself over last week in part one of this conversation with the virtuosa Diana Perrazzo. But let's do it anyways because she's so awesome. If you listened last week and you're even listening right now and you get something from this conversation, jump on your social media platform of choice and let Diana know how awesome she is because she was just in the middle of being open and vulnerable with us last week on her release from the WWE. She got this dreaded phone call from a 203 area code number and realized, I think this call means I am no longer going to be doing my dream job at the WWE. And she was right. How did that conversation go? How did she feel about that conversation? What did she learn from that conversation? And most importantly, this week, as we leave off there and continue in this conversation, you learn what she decided to do to move forward in her career, her life, her love for this wonderful business of wrestling, but really what was going through her mind and her mindset, and how did she change her mindset about life in general through this experience? That's what this podcast and show is all about. I'm able to bring on guests like Diana who talk about how wrestling is life. Is wrestling, and we can actually learn how to better our lives through the things that we experience in our journey in wrestling. And Diana's going to tell us all about that now. We're talking to the virtuosa. She's an Impact Knockouts champion, an Impact Knockouts tag team champion, and Ring of Honor champion, a AAA champion. She's been the WWE, she's been the NXT, she's done it all, and now she's on my podcast here for part two. So without further ado, let's continue this fascinating and wonderful conversation with my friend, Diana Perrazzo. You needed to go to those people and say, just tell me what to do. Because if you didn't, you probably would be sitting here. You probably have regrets going, oh, I should have spoke up or I should have done this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I feel like I've always been taught to just like stand up for yourself. You're your biggest advocate. And I feel like I was so beaten down and no one was advocating for me. I actually think people were probably doing the opposite of that. Yep. That it was like, if no one's going to do anything for me, I have to find that within myself and I have to be the person who did it. And if it turns out bad, then that's okay too. But I was in such a bad space that like it couldn't have gotten any worse. It was just like, I need out of this place. And, you know, I did get released. I didn't ask for my release. But, you know, like 3 weeks before that, I had kind of said, like, if we're not going to improve on this, then what are we doing? Like, just let me go. I don't want to be here. You don't, guys clearly don't want me here. So let's just end this, you know. And so when I got the phone call that I was released, it was like, oh, a 203 number is calling me. I'm getting fired right now.
Yeah.
But also it was a great conversation with Canyon Seaman at the time because he was like, I think this is what you want and you're going to end up really happy. And I was like, I think so too. So thank you. You know,
oh, wow. That's good.
As negative as it was, it kind of ended, at least with Canyon, who I had worked with for like 7 years up until that point on and off. Like, it ended up really positive. And I think, I wouldn't be me today and I wouldn't be able to look back like, and be like, I was part of the problem too. You know, it wasn't, 25-year-old Diana thought like it was them. And now, you know, 5 years removed, I could be like, I had a lot to do with that. And now I work to form better relationships and to act better and to be more professional and to bite my tongue a little bit more. And, you know, like I learned a lot from those worst times of my life.
It's interesting you say that because it was something I was going to bring up earlier, which I think applies now in what you just said. Like, 25-year-old Diana is, you're a young.
Yeah.
Like when you were trying to get in at 19, I'm like, I was thinking in my head as you were saying that, like, thank God they didn't hire you at 19. Like, you're a child. You can't even rent a car. Like, like, you're not to go into those, like we were just saying, this political stew, the Shark Tank at 19. Oh my God. Like, everything happens for a reason. You know, so I think someone was looking out for you to not, you know, spiritually, to not let you go. Cause the same happened to me. Like, I had some breaks really early when in my early 20s and with the WWE, and then I didn't get signed, and I'm like, ah, man. And it was one of my first big disappointments. But looking back on it, I'm like, I think I was not ready, and I don't even know where I would have ended up if I would have gotten a contract at that young. Oh my gosh. I wouldn't be nearly as happy or where I am today. I don't think. I think I just wanted it because it was something I'd wanted since I was young, but it wasn't, the timing wasn't right.
Yeah, I think we're conditioned, right? Like, I also grew up, I didn't know what TNA was. I didn't know what Ring of Honor was. Like, I didn't know until I got into wrestling, really, that there was alternatives to WWE. So I feel like if that's how you grew up, like, you're conditioned, like, I need to be at this place to make it is this place. Yeah. And then, when you get there and you're like, oh, no, like, this isn't, I don't think you ever get into wrestling thinking about all the backstage stuff that you're going to deal with. Like, you just see WrestleMania, or you see, you know, Bound for Glory, or you see now AEW at Wembley, and you're like, that's where I want to be. That's the pinnacle. But then it's like, oh, there's 10 years of struggle to get that, hopefully get that one moment. And you don't know as a kid that you're going to deal with all that other stuff. So I think that, like, when 100% do I think, like, it was fortunate for me at 19 to not be put in that position, because I even feel now at 25, I thought I was such an adult and I wasn't. I thought I was so smart. I thought I was doing the right things. And I look back and I'm like, I would have handled that so differently today. You know, as a married woman, as someone who has been at the top of a company for a very long time and, like, had those conversations and dealt with those situations, like, just those, you know, 4 years have made such a difference. So I am so grateful that 19-year-old D didn't have to deal with that, and also had, like, people around her being like, it's okay, we'll divert and go over here and try this and give you different life experience in this, because I feel like there's kids who get signed at 19 right now, and it's like, go be a kid. Like, you are a child. Go party with your friends and turn 21 and go to the bar and, like, do all those things. I didn't do those things because I wanted to wrestle. And I get why if that's your dream, you don't. But, like, you're a kid, and you shouldn't be dealing with the craziness of wrestling just yet.
Yes. And thank God for your mother, who said, I'm not signing that form when you're 15, because you and I both know of the crazy, seedy underbelly of wrestling and the potential con artists and people that are out there that exist in wrestling that we're not thinking about when we're 15. We're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go, and everyone's going to help me because I got a dream and I'm going to do this thing. And it's like, oh, like, I was so naive when I started wrestling. I had no idea. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh. So thank goodness your mom didn't sign that form. But when you did decide, I'm going to wrestling school, you're 18, you're an adult now. Did your parents come around to the idea and, like, approve of it, or did it take a while, or how did that go?
So I can tell anybody, I just, like, went to this wrestling school on a Tuesday night and signed a contract to pay, like, $3,000. I didn't I worked a part-time job and was going to school, you know? So when I came home and I was like, I'm going to be a professional wrestler, my mom was more mad that I agreed to pay all this money than she was that I was going to be a wrestler, or hope to be. And she was always super supportive. Like, she knew that's what you wanted to do for the last 10 years. Like, and so now it's up to you to figure out how to do it. My dad, like, and my mom also growing up, would buy us all the pay-per-views. My parents are divorced, so, like, my mom would always, like, she'd buy the pay-per-view, or she took my brother and I to countless SmackDown. She took us to WrestleMania 1 year. Like, she was supportive of just being a wrestling fan, and then also maybe one day the dream. Where my dad, like, is not a wrestling fan. My dad knows nothing about wrestling. My dad is very, I don't want to say sheltered in that way, but was very concerned with, like, me putting myself out there and wanting me to, like, respect myself and my body and all those things. So when he was like, all I know is that they wear skimpy outfits and strip on TV, you're not doing that. And so it took him a long time to come around. And he also works crazy hours at his job. He's up super early in the morning and like works till 6 p.m. And there was never like a great time for him to come to a show. And I'm also really grateful that he didn't see me wrestle at the VFW in front of three people. You know, because his first show was Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. Ring of Honor. So yeah, it was like a packed crowd full of like Bullet Club t-shirts, and like he just kind of like looked around and was like, what is this world? And then he shocked me when because I got beer, I sat with him in the crowd after I wrestled, and just tried to like enjoy that moment with him. Yeah. And he was like, you didn't tell me you knew Dusty Rhodes' son, because Cody was wrestling. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't know you knew who Dusty Rhodes was.
Like, that's so cool.
Had this really great moment of like, yeah, oh, now you get it. And like, you're letting me in on a few things that maybe you wouldn't have told me otherwise. And but now he's like my biggest fan. I read on the internet that you did an interview and you said this. And I'm like, Tab, no.
Oh, that is so amazing. I love that. Isn't that, that's so special that you got to have that moment though. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And so my, very similar to you, my mom was always super supportive, my dad not so much. But unlike you, my parents did see me wrestle in front of three people at the VFW hall and be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And honestly, I was thinking the same thing, right? Like when we're five, our dream is WrestleMania. And then so I get into independent wrestling, not knowing even what this world is. And then I walk out for like my second show ever, and there's literally eight people in the audience. I count them and I go, there's more wrestlers in the locker room than there are people in the audience. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking the same thing my parents are thinking, what the hell am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like that's enough to break some people and to be like, this is ridiculous. I'm done. Like, this isn't what I was envisioning. So I'm going to get out.
Yeah.
How did you not quit after going to the ring and doing that for three people? Like, what kept you going and motivated?
I think just that goal of like, but I'm going to be in WWE one day. Like, this is what you do. Because, right, I had read all those books. All of, you know, Chris Jericho's experiences, Eddie Guerrero's experiences, Batista's experiences. Like, yep, all of these people's experiences that were kind of like, I wrestled in front of no one in Mexico. I was held at gunpoint. And I was like, I went to Japan and did this. And I'm like, I have to do all those things. Like, if I want to be the best woman's wrestler. And I kind of always, like, loved that, like, technical style of wrestling. Like the cruiserweight style where it was a bit of everything. Like, if I want to be like that, but a woman, and change women's wrestling, then I need to go do that in Japan. I need to go do that all over the country. I need to go to Mexico one day. So I just kind of always had this mindset of like, if that's what it takes, then that's what I'm going to do. And it never deterred me. It was just kind of like, this is part of the process, I guess.
Yeah. Was changing women's wrestling always something that was on your mind since a young age of wrestling when you started, when you got into the business?
Yeah, because again, like, it was that, like, bra and panties matches. It was the Playboy pillow fight matches. And it kind of, like, changed a little bit, you know, like, and we had, like, Mickey and Trish and, like, a couple really great storylines. And I think, you know, like, Alicia Fox was so ahead of her time. And, you know, Michelle McCool and Melina were doing really great things before, you know, they'll talk about it now that they were told, you can't do that anymore. Like, that's too much for women. And I just think I saw, like, these, like, glimmers of hope of, like, But I'm more than that. I know I'm more than that. And I think that if they just gave us a chance, if they gave us time, if they gave us stories, you know, then we could show the world that we're like actual athletes and we're good at this. And yeah, it was always that, like, I don't like that women are put in this position and I want to be part of the change of that. But I didn't know that there were other companies that were changing that. I just thought like, this is all that there is, you know?
Yeah. What always fascinates me is when I speak to females like yourself. Like, for me, when I was a kid, I had heroes, other male wrestlers, because I had a blueprint to go by. Whereas someone like yourself, like, I think it's really interesting that you're able to, you still were even a fan of it, and that even this thought of, well, I can be more than that, especially like girls that are watching like bra and panties matches and are thinking to themselves, I want to be a wrestler, but I know I don't want to do that. Like, that's a really hard thing to even overcome.
Yeah.
As a female watching the product, you know what I mean? Like, how, where does that come from for you? I'm fascinated by that, because I didn't have to overcome that, because I get to watch the guys that get to be in the main event and get to headline, and they get to have serious storylines and et cetera. Whereas as a girl watching that, not so much during certain eras.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if it wasn't going to be in wrestling, I think that I was a cheerleader. I was a gymnast. I ran track. Like, I did sports outside of wrestling that could build my confidence. And I had a, you know, great, like, again, my mom was so supportive of all the things I wanted to do. I had really great friends who were supportive of what I wanted to do. And I had a really great group around me, especially when I was young, just playing other sports with. And I think just as a young girl, I was told, like, you are strong. You can do whatever you want to do. You should dream big. Like, and I was given the positions to, like, be cheerleading captain my senior year of high school. I was, you know, like, I was always built up in other aspects of my life. So I feel like I didn't see that as a negative. I just saw it as, like, there's work to be done here. And if I can do that work, I can succeed.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm a stranger to hard work. I think that when I put, again, I'm a control freak. When I put my mind to something, I'm going to figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, I had a really great, like, support system my childhood to do whatever I wanted to do, that I just was able to, like, translate that into wrestling. And then also when I got into wrestling at 18, I had a really great trainer and then a really great support system and friends around me that, like, we held each other up and fought the good fight together, you know?
Okay, hello, my name is Eden, and my dad, Coney Dina, is a wrestler here, and he's going to be the boss of this video.
You're going to let me be the boss? I'm surprised by this. I'm going to, let's both be the boss, how about that?
No!
Oh, you just said that like you're the boss. This is Eden. How old are you, Eden?
I am 5 years old.
And what color is your hair?
Blonde.
I have a very beautiful blonde 5-year-old girl. I want my listeners to just picture her and her pretty face right now and know that she's basically the boss.
And I'm not the boss. Oh, Dad's the boss. Oh,
this is wonderful. This is a very rare occurrence. Okay, I want to talk to my listeners about two things. One, Christmas.
Yeah.
Eden's going to tell me, help me talk about Christmas.
Christmas is Santa brings us presents that the elves make. Okay. And when he brings them, people make, if they're feeling sick, it makes them be happy and play with lots of toys when your father and mom is busy.
Okay, that was interesting. When they're what? When they're far away, mama's busy? Is this like something you saw in a movie or something? Some kid had to play with a toy because they're far away, mama's busy? No? This just is like a hypothetical thing? Maybe there's a kid out there who has a busy mom? Because your mom's busy, but she's not far away. Your mom is always playing with you guys, and she helps around the house.
I didn't even say far away.
Oh, what did you say?
I said Dad.
Oh, far away dad. Well, that's true.
Not far away dad. I didn't say anything about far away dad or far away mom. I only said if your dad is busy or your mom is busy and playing with the toys.
Okay. I misheard you. And I'm not going to bother rewinding this to listen to it to see if I'm right or not. But let's talk about that. The first thing was Christmas. All right. Can I say something without you spitting into the mic? Or? Hey, wait, I'm the boss. No spitting. Hey, we have to quickly just tell them at least about the sponsor, because this is technically a commercial happening right now. Okay, let's do that after. Let's do that after. Let's not do that.
I can't hear anything.
Well, because you just knocked out your headphone there. All right. Be quiet.
Can I do a song?
No, you can't. Not until I tell them about a thing.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
I thought I was the boss. It's very clear I'm not the boss now or ever when it comes to my 5-year-old Eden. While she sings this Christmas song, I'll try to tell you about CEOFit.ca, which is a website you can go to in Canada. All around the world, actually. We ship to United States and Australia and in Canada is where CEOFit.ca will send you supplements, wonderful things for your muscles, brain function.
Okay, I'm done here. Bye.
And if you are in Canada and you spend over $120, then you get free shipping. And you notice that Eden's not doing that right now. I'm just going to be talking. I'm kind of doing my own commercial now. Are you done your singing?
Yes.
Okay. Can you at least tell them about CEO Fit?
Fine.
Okay. You that's okay? All right. Yes. Yeah, I need you to help me because they want to hear it from – they hear it from me all the time, but they it's way better if they hear it from you. It's Christmas. Are you excited about Christmas?
No.
Oh, okay. That wasn't the answer I was expecting. Yes. Oh, okay. That was – what do you want for Christmas?
I want a bunny robot, a huge teddy bear, and a makeup set.
Do you think we can get any of that stuff at CEOFit.ca?
Yep.
Oh, we can? All right. Mm-hmm. That's not true, but sure. People should go to CEO. People should go to CEOFit.ca. Let's everybody right now go to CEOFit.ca and see if they have a robot bunny. A big giant teddy bear or a makeup kit.
Don't do that.
Should my listeners go to CEOFit.ca?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're not very good at these
commercials.
They can't. Doing commercials. They can't go there?
No.
Oh, why not?
Because it's only for children.
Oh, those things are for children, the things that you want.
Yeah.
Okay, but CEO Fit, you can be a grown-up and go there.
Can
you can get lots of stuff.
Now.
Yes, we can. If we do a good sign-off, we can. You got to sign off, though. Do you know what that means?
Bye.
Yeah, we got to do that. Let's do a Christmas sign-off. Say something Christmassy.
Bye. Jingle bell, jingle bell.
All right, everybody. Bye. Yes. Oh, I interrupted your good Christmas goodbye. You do it one more time.
Jingle bell, jingle bells, bye.
That was wonderful. Bye, Eden.
Bye.
That's big. That's what I was actually going to go to. You just answered my question. I was going to say, like, when you got into wrestling, did you then gravitate towards certain people that had the same goals and you could help build each other up? Because, like, for me, when I'm wrestling on that show in front of 8 people, I'm not the only one. So when I come to the locker room with my head down going, oh, my God, what's going on? Every other person in that locker room is in the same boat because we're all wrestling in front of 8 people. And some guys are going to go, this is ridiculous. I'm done. And other guys are going to go, hey, man, it's okay. It's not always like this. There's more. There's another side to this. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And I gravitated towards those people rather than the people that were in the corner going, screw this, and deciding to quit. I gravitate towards the people that are like, no, man, keep moving forward. Did you, who were some of those people for you? Like, was it fellow female wrestlers or was it that all had this goal? Like, hey, we can, you're kind of thinking in your head, maybe women's revolution before that even was a thing, you know, like who were those people?
I think like my trainer, Damian Adams,
was
like, I trained with him since day one. Mm-hmm. When I was 18 and walked into the wrestling school, he was there. So he's been a part of my life still to this day. He's one of my best friends. Yeah. And I think that he really implemented from day one that like, this is a team. When you're out there, it's not a team sport, but behind the scenes, this is a team sport. Mm-hmm. And he, when I finally was able to wrestle and we had a few other students who could wrestle, like, we all traveled together to every show. We would pack the car and go to Canada, or pack the car and drive to Massachusetts, or drive to Louisville, Kentucky. Like, we really treated training like a team effort, like a team sport. Mm-hmm. And then we got someone like Tasha Steeles who came to train with us. And then Karen Q, who's 1D2 in NXT, came to train with us. And so then I had 2 girls who I could do this with, and nice. I could travel everywhere with and like really lean on. That became my best friends and still are. And then I met Chelsea Green and Britt Baker, who are my 2 other best friends. And I'm like, okay, well, now I have this really strong group of women who we don't want to wrestle anyone else. You know, if Britt can get me a booking in Pittsburgh to wrestle her, then I was driving to Pittsburgh. And if I could get her a booking in Jersey, she was coming to Jersey. And, you know, Chelsea had broken her collarbone and was like, can I come stay with you and train with Damian for like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks while I rehab that? Absolutely. Come live with me. Like, it was just like, what do we need to do to take over? Because we're going to be supportive for each other and do those things. And, you know, like I said, those are my four best friends in my real life still 10 years later. So having them, I think, and just like knowing that like they're fighting the fight with me and they're going through the same things I'm going through, I'm not alone in this. And also, like, I could call them anytime. I could text them anytime. I could talk about what's happening in my real life. It's not just wrestling, was really what got us all through.
Yeah, I think that's so important to know that, realize that, for us to be talking about this right now, for anyone who's listening to this. I think it's so important that we're talking about this because one thing that I say to both young wrestlers and to young students when I go around and I do my motivational speeches at schools, I let them know, like, they see me up on stage talking about both my successes and my failures, and they kind of look up to me and go, oh, wow, you accomplished these things. You're on TV. They think it's, like, this cool thing. And then I very much tell them, I did nothing that I just told you about in my story alone. Mm-hmm. You can't do it alone. You have to find your people.
Yeah.
And so those people are so integral to your story because all your excesses you can attribute to the Tasha Steeles, the Chelsea Greens, you know, those people. And in wrestling, it's even more important because you're literally putting your life on the line with these people, mm-hmm. right? Find someone like a Chelsea Green or Britt Baker that you get into the ring with and you're friends with. You said earlier that you had Damian Adams said, well, it's a team sport, not so much in the ring. Well, yes, it's backstage. Well, both it is. Because if you got to be on the same team, because if you don't, if you pick me up and you drop me on my head, it's done, right? So we are on the same team. So you grow. My non-wrestling fan listeners can't fully appreciate really how close you become.
Yeah.
Just by being in the ring with somebody. For me, as soon as I wrestle somebody, we're immediately friends. Like almost immediately. Like, yep, we're friends now because we just did this thing together. But it must have been even next level for you and those friends because, and I know what this is like because it's with me, with my friends that I met from day one, who I've stood up in their wedding. They were at mine. Like, they're my friends for life now. Because we've done this thing together where our lives are in each other's hands. And we have this common goal together that we share and we're helping each other. That's the big thing. So this is the other side. Cause I'm all about focusing on the positive. This is the other side of what we talked about earlier. This like shark infested waters of politics and backstabbing and trying to pull each other down. Yes, that happens. But the other beautiful thing about this business is you meet people that say, yes, come live with me. While you're trying to accomplish this thing. Yep.
Yeah.
I have a couch for you or a bed for you or whatever. Like that's so beautiful and important. And I don't think highlight enough about wrestling that yes, we do that for one another.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is like, well, you talked about like, I wouldn't be successful without failing. And I think that when you find like people that you can fail with, kind of,
yes,
and like
absolutely.
Grow through that together, you know, like I think that's really what fortified like Chelsea and I were always super close, but like going through NXT together and going through some of the experiences that I talked about earlier together and like her being by my side through all of that was like, oh, like if you weren't already my best friend for life, you're like my ride or die. Like she was my matron of honor in my wedding. Like there's no one that can understand kind of what we go through more than our wrestling friends because they're also going through it with us. And I think that, you know, if you could find someone that's not your spouse or your significant other that you can travel with and sit together on a plane with and share a hotel room with and like get a routine together with, like that is what makes relationships. So yeah, yep. There are friends and we wrestle with them and there's that bond when you can protect each other and keep each other safe. But there's like this, this bond outside of that, that it's like,
yeah.
I actually live my life with you and I spend more time with Chelsea some days than I do with Steve.
Yep.
And that's important, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think that like, you like grow through these experiences and, Britt actually said something like my wedding weekend that has always stuck with me of like, just particular to me, we kind of went around and everyone said something nice about me, which I don't love that happening.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You've been my friend for 10 years and you've been super successful. But you've never changed. Nothing about you has changed. You are the same person. And I think that is kind of what I hold closest to my heart of, you know, my journey is like, I've never let that change me. I've never let the politics or the sharkiness of wrestling or my success or my failures, like, I've never let that change who Deonna Purrazzo, the human being, is. Because at the end of the day, that's all I have. Like, at the end of the day, my kids might not like wrestling. And the championship belt I have hanging up might mean nothing to them. Or, you know, like, in 20 years, what I've done doesn't matter anymore. Because someone else is doing it. And probably doing it better than I have ever done it. So if I could be the same human and, like, all the relationships I form are the same relationship I've had from the beginning, then that's what's most important, I think.
Yes, I have found for me in my life that this goes back to something you were saying earlier. You said a couple of things that really stood out to me. One was you've kind of realized that it's the journey, you know, not the destination, which is kind of that cliche. It's all about the journey, not the destination. And I know for me, getting in that car with those friends to drive and do that show together, that's what I remember and what I love about the business. Even more so than the destination. Because like we said earlier, you get to the destination and you realize, oh, this mountain that I've climbed, I get to the top of this mountain that I thought I was going to feel this certain way. And I realize, oh, no, I'm just at the top of a mountain now. Now what? And for me, I've learned that we have to find our sense of happiness and our true sense of happiness and joy cannot hinge on our success in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, we're setting ourselves up for disaster.
Yeah.
Right? We have to find that source of joy and true happiness outside the business. What is that for you? Because I feel like you've grown in the sense that, especially you saying you flip the script and you realize now success in wrestling isn't what's going to really bring me true happiness, even though it does make me happy because I love it. But I'm not saying that, but I'm like, what is it for you outside of this realm of this crazy world of wrestling?
Yeah, I think wrestling brought me Steve.
Yeah.
So there's that. Like, that's my greatest relationship. That's my husband. Like, we have a beautiful home. We have three beautiful, healthy dogs. Like, I've been able to find like real happiness outside of wrestling, creating a life with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, like when I got released, it was like, well, maybe I'm not going to wrestle anymore. I'll just be a normal human. And so I went back to college. And I think having that outlet, I just finally graduated this summer. Like having that to just like, I can put my phone down and turn off wrestling and dive into a history book for 3 hours. And I have to write a paper about nuclear weapons, like, or, you know, like the Civil War, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I can just, it has nothing to do with wrestling. I can turn off every other aspect of my life and just focus on this and get this work done. And I think that was one of the greatest things I ever did for myself was to give me something to love and be passionate about and a goal to accomplish outside of wrestling. Because when I was 18 and trying to go to school and trying to wrestle and try to work a full-time job, I gave up school because it was like, I could go to school one day. You know, I can't wrestle forever and I need money to be able to wrestle. But I could go to school at any age. And to do that at 25, like, it was the perfect timing for me. I needed an outlet that wasn't wrestling and something I could pour my soul into that had nothing to do with wrestling.
And I'm sure it's so important. Maybe this didn't come into play for you, but I'm thinking this. When you're married to a wrestler and you're a wrestler, it can be very easy for that house to be wrestling 24/7.
Yeah.
And that isn't always good. Like, you need the things outside of wrestling. So to find your thing outside it, I'm sure is really important for your mental health.
Yeah, because we are a wrestling house. Wrestling is on every single day of the week. You know, whether we're watching it or it's just in the background, it's on.
Or in your mind, you're going through promos, you're doing your thing. I get
it. And I feel like Steve is worse at that than I am. Like, I can kind of, like, not really talk about, like, this move or this match or, you know, like, with our Impact schedule kind of being, like, we're not taping as frequent, you know, towards the end of this year. Like, I don't think about it because I don't do indie shows anymore. Like, all I have to worry about is, like, I got Impact this week. So let's make sure my gear's clean. Let's make sure my bag's packed and let's go. He can't turn it off. So I think that, like, I have to be like, hey, be patient. You know, let's cross that bridge when we get there. It's like, it's easier these days for me to turn it off than I think it is him. So it's that balancing act of, like, I know you're excited and I get it and I'm excited for you, but, like, let's put our phone down and focus on dinner.
Oh, man. Well, Deanna, we started our conversation talking about Steve and your wonderful marriage. Well, we can end it now too. I think I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
I want to say one thing I very much appreciate about this conversation is that I furiously made a bunch of notes before this conversation and I didn't look at it once. I didn't get to any of them because I knew you were going to be like the perfect guest for this idea of wrestling, but then talking about life and how they intermingle. I didn't know, I expected it to be good, but I didn't expect your insights and vulnerability and just every wonderful thing I can say about you and this conversation. I'm saying it now. I so much appreciate it. I know that there's fans that are wrestling fans are listening to this right now. There are non-wrestling fans are listening to this right now that the things that you had to say have helped them in some way. So if a wrestling fan wants to say, thank you, Deanna, for saying this, or thank you for bringing this up because I never thought about it that way, how can they get a hold of you and say thank you? Where do they tag you in their social media posts to say, hey, Deanna, you're the best and we appreciate you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Deanna Perrazzo.
Okay, that's nice and easy. Sweet. Awesome. One more thing.
Yeah.
You can say no, but I've had no one else that said no. So you'll be the biggest heel in the world if you say no to this, Deanna. At the end of my conversation, which we're going to end right now for the free listeners, I have a Patreon where I like to offer a bonus story to my patrons who are supporters of this show. And I give them just something exclusive to them, just like a little bonus story that maybe they've never heard before or that we're not going to let the freebies listen to right now. After I hit stop, we're going to head on over to Patreon and they're going to get to listen to a very exclusive story from Deanna that I like to preface it this way. It's going to be a story that a civilian wouldn't believe. Now you're going to have time to think about it. And the nice thing about this is the cool thing about wrestling is the majority of our life can't be believed by a civilian. So it can really be anything, but, we'll end it now. We'll give you a second to think about it. And then, my patrons can head over onto patreon.com/CodyDiener and listen to this bonus story from Deanna. Are you cool with that? Will you give me a couple more minutes of your time?
Yeah, absolutely. I just got to think of a good story.
Oh yeah, that's fine. We got time, but before you start thinking, I just, again, thank you for Deanna. Thank you for doing this. I very much appreciate it. You've been nothing but wonderful.
Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling. And what did I tell you guys? This conversation is exactly what I wanted this podcast to be. Opportunity for wrestlers to come on, share their journey with wrestling fans, not to just talk about wrestling, but to talk about what their journey has taught them in their lives and hopefully how those successes and failures can maybe, if we just are willing and vulnerable enough to share that story, how it can maybe help some other people. And I think, and I know, because I've already heard from some fans from part one, and I know it's probably going to come in here from part two as well, that Deanna has been able to help you in some way by her opening up and sharing her story with us. I just want to again say thank you to Deanna for sharing with us again this week her story. She's just been nothing but wonderful. Head on over to social media and tell Deanna Perrazzo exactly why she's so awesome. And I'll continue to do the same on my social media at Cody Diener. If you got something from this week and you want to consider maybe helping out this project that I'm doing here, bringing this podcast to you, and you want to continue to help me be a professional podcaster, because to be a professional podcast, you got to make a little bit of money. Well, I'm bringing this to you free each and every week on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, on YouTube. The video streams on there, as well as every single podcast platform in the world. This is heading on out to you. You can help. You can support this podcast over on patreon.com/CodyDiener. You're not just going to be giving me money and not getting anything out of it. No, you're going to get the entire back catalog, each conversation I have, all the way through in audio, video format, no advertisements, and as well as next week's guest that's going to be coming up on patreon.com/CodyDiener this weekend. Oh, my. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You've got to follow my social media at Cody Diener, and I'll be announcing next week's guest soon and putting up the full conversation early and ad free. So you don't got to wait till next Thursday to listen to part one, or the following Thursday, listen to part two. You're going to get the entire conversation this weekend over on patreon.com/CodyDiener with next week's guest. I'll give you a hint on who it is. I've worked very, very closely with this guest in the past, and really a lot just in the last few years. Haven't known them for a super long time, but have grown very close to this person through working with them, and they are freaking awesome in all the ways. So happy that I met this person. I've gotten to work with them and have made myself a friend for life. That's all I'm going to say. You're going to figure out who it is this weekend over at Cody Diener, and you're going to very much enjoy our conversation that we'll be having the following 2 weeks for part one and part two. You can get the whole thing over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. You love just listening to me shill and hype that, don't you? Oh, man, just go over and do it then, and I'll stop saying it. Other ways you can help support, go to prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener, get yourself a t-shirt, go to cameo.com/CodyDiener, get yourself a video, or better yet, get your family member a video. Man, it's just a couple days and it's Christmas. Oh, I love this season so much. I just get to spend more time with my family and with my kids, which reminds me, let me just sign off here. I got to go hang out with my kids, man. We got to go hang out. I got to go jump on the trampoline with my kids. Maybe we've been playing a lot of football, even though it's cold here in Canada. I've been tossing the football around in my big backyard with my kids. And then when we get really cold from that, we all go in the hot tub together. So you know what? I'm going to sign off now. I'm going to go play some catch with my kids. I'm going to go jump in the hot tub with my kids. And I'm going to have a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you guys have a very Merry Christmas. If you're listening to this, when this episode drops, it's a few days away. I will see you on the other side of Christmas next week. And in the meantime, and in between time, I've never said this before. I sound like a radio host right now, but sure. In the meantime and in between time, I'm never going to say this again. That sounded so cheesy. But I will say Merry Christmas. And I will say, if you come back next week, you will learn yet again that wrestling is life. Is wrestling. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.